There's got to be an explanation to all these UFO sightings, right? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Hackmaster Ralph W. Basham, MD.
Co-host Catherine Brandt.
And Andy Brandt Bernard.
And Alex is over at, what's it called? COVID
room. Caribou.
Caribou. COVID boo, whatever. Caribou. She's over at Caribou. She'll be here any minute. We'll be right back. Check the news right after this with the family. Michael Bryant, Brad Sean Bryant, what's the latest?
We're just trying to represent people who've been injured through no fault of their own. We're trying to talk to them before they talk to an adjuster or before they take a settlement that isn't something they should get based upon their injuries.
How many people are out there in different, not in the law business, that love to run around scaring people before you even get to them?
Well, adjusters will want to settle cases, right, and they want to close files. So based upon that, they do what they have to. I think there's a lot of circumstances where they probably act as attorneys where they're not attorneys, and they try to explain people's rights, or they give them a certain view that if they look at it. And what I always say is this: if the adjuster really truly thinks the offer they made makes sense, they'd have them come see us, you know?
And that's exactly my question is, you have to understand who has the best, your best interest in mind, correct?
Well, you want to know what your rights are. You know, whether or not you decide you're going to hire us or not, that's a choice. It's a free consultation, and you want to understand what your, all your rights are and what coverages you have.
And plus the fact, I hang out with you, so you got to be a good guy if I'm hanging out with you.
Maybe.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant, Bradshaw and Bryant. Dougie, what's new at my favorite Nissan stores?
Well, now that everybody's back from vacation, we can finally get to work.
Yeah, easy there, gunpowder.
Hey, at least you only took a week. J-Lo was gone darn near a whole month. Poor Dan Rush. Anyway, we got some great things happening at Coon Rapids Nissan and Walser Nissan in Burnsville. Read this, and you can add that cool DJ voice if you want to.
It's 2020 closeout month at Burnsville and Coon Rapids Nissan. Giant discounts and 0% for 60 months on all remaining 2020s. You also get Walser Care, a 10-year, 150,000-mile powertrain warranty for free.
Music to my ears. I love the sound of a good DJ in the morning. But wait, there's more.
For the first time ever, you can get 0% for 60 months on the all-new 2021 Rogue. The 2021 Rogue is bigger, better, and faster than ever before. For more information on 0% interest on all these great vehicles, check out Coon Rapids Nissan and Walser Nissan in Burnsville and tell them Tommy sent you.
I'll just cut out the last bit.
Hello, I'm Brad Huckle, president at North American Banking Company.
And I'm Mike Bilski, CEO at North American Banking Company.
As a community bank based right here in the Twin Cities, we believe in taking the time to get to know our customers and their businesses.
And part of that is hiring and cultivating a team of experienced lenders. When your business banks with us, you're not training in a new, inexperienced banker.
In fact, our bankers have worked with many of the same customers for years, earning their trust. We get to know you and your business, and you get to know and rely upon us.
When your business is looking to capitalize on an opportunity or solve a problem, we'll be here to help you.
Tom here. I know Brad and Mike, and I trust that with my banking, they've personally delivered on everything they've just said. So why not bank with my banker, North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Breaking news.
Breaking news that we're back.
Yep.
Breaking news that we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to Tim in just a couple of seconds. Just want to read a couple of headlines here.
Carlson's mask suggestion doesn't go over well. I don't know what this is all about because I don't. I haven't been watching the news recently, thank God. But Tucker Carlson apparently is the hottest guy at Fox News, so now they're going to start going after him like there's
no tomorrow.
Oh, they've
been trying to.
Oh, yeah.
Have they really?
They've been going after him for years.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
With vaccinations increasing, lots of people are making the case that it's time to stop wearing masks outdoors. But on his Fox News show Monday night, Tucker Carlson took the argument to a whole new level, specifically in regard to children. He likened it to child abuse and urged viewers to call police if they see it. It's a little,
little
severe.
A little over the top. It does distress me to see little children with masks on.
So you call the police because they're wearing it or because they're not wearing it?
Because they're not wearing it. Yeah, that's true.
I think it's more abusive than making them wear it.
Because they are wearing it, I assume.
Yeah, I think Tucker Carlson would be anti-children masks.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Your response when you see children wearing masks as they play should be no different from your response to seeing someone beat a kid in Walmart.
Oh, my God.
Tucker, settle down.
Wow.
Settle down,
beating
Beavis.
A kid in Walmart.
That's no.
Would you guess that Walmart's a big advertiser at Fox News?
Yes.
Probably not.
Not
now.
Does Walmart advertise anywhere?
Not really.
They don't really need to.
I don't think I've ever seen.
They do, yeah.
Every so often I see, like, I've seen a couple Walmart TV ads. Well, back in the day, it used to be, you know, rolling back prices and then put on a happy face and all that. But in the past 20 probably years, I don't think I've seen more than a couple Walmart ads.
Well, not why I hardly ever watch a television show that has ads.
Well, that's
like
true.
That.
I don't watch TV at all, so I don't see ads for really anything.
and the ads that surface on your pop-up, they just go away. I don't even see them.
That's true.
They're just
learn the magic of ad block.
Just a couple more comments by Tucker Carlson because I think he's popped a bolt. If it's your own child being abused, then act accordingly, he continues. Let's say your kid's school emailed you and announced that every day after lunch your sixth grader was going to get punched in the face by a teacher. How would you respond to that? That's precisely how you should respond when they tell you your kids have to wear masks on the soccer field.
Jeez.
And finally, he drew unexpected parallels between vaccinated adults wearing masks outdoors and, well, something else. Watching a vaccinated person, someone with antibodies, wearing a mask outside is like watching a grown man expose himself in public. That's disgusting. Put it away, please. We don't do that here.
Well,
oh, man.
It felt like he was joking, but it's hard to say.
I'm sure he was joking.
But he goes off the deep end once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Do you believe that this new Apple update is going to give us a little control over our privacy?
No.
I don't believe it either.
It's going to give you a toggle switch that does nothing?
It's like an elevator door. It's launching today. It's a new privacy tool called App Tracking Transparency, which could give us more control over how our data is shared.
Yeah, I'm certain.
You
press that button, and I'm certain that you can trust them implicitly.
No problem, No problem at all. One thing you can't trust is the opinion of Tim Lammers on movies. you can't trust that at all.
Well, let me just, before we get to the Oscars, because we have to talk about the ratings.
Oh, God.
Before we talk about the ratings, yeah, you're right. You don't see as many ads from Walmart, but the fact that you were talking about it right now, you're going to see ads from Walmart all day long because your smart device is listening to you.
That's true.
That's how it works now, brother.
It
and
is.
Sister.
I never, ever see ads on my phone because I use special browsers that I just never
use DuckDuckGo?
Ever. Yeah, I use DuckDuckGo.
I do too.
I use.
It does help a lot.
Yeah, it sure does.
Mm-hmm.
They run commercials on the KQ Morning Show.
DuckDuckGo does?
Yeah, they do.
I don't know how they get their money, is the only suspicious thing. Because it's like it's a search engine
and it's a free
browser. It's free, so
is it open source? One of the open source
projects? I don't think it is. If you click on anything, they get money. I don't know.
I guess maybe it's like Brave, where they have the built-in ad system. I don't really know. It's just interesting how they're advertising, which suggests that they're making money off of downloads, but how?
I don't know.
You can probably Google it.
I can
DuckDuckGo it.
Okay, I got to run one thing past you if you didn't hear the KQ Morning Show. I don't know how this comes about, and I don't remember where it was, and it doesn't really matter where it was, but apparently there was a couple out walking, And they came upon, they were up in the mountain somewhere or something like that, and they came upon a plastic bag. So I figured, well, we can't just leave that here. We'll have to throw it away. Went to pick up the plastic bag. As they picked it up, they looked inside, and there was a hand grenade inside the bag, the plastic bag.
What?
So they call the cops. Oh, it gets much worse. It gets much worse. They call the cops. The cops show up. SWAT shows up. All these people show up. They find it. They look in the bag. There is indeed a hand grenade in there. But then they did their sonar or radar or whatever the hell they do, and they said... It's not a live hand grenade.
It's a lighter.
It's a sex toy.
Oh.
Shaped like a hand grenade.
Sex toy.
Where are you putting that thing? Aren't those things like 3.5 inches wide?
I'm guessing up the keister.
You're thinking up the chute?
Hey, careful. Yeah. You can't single people out, single set groups out like
Hey, I'm not. Yeah, everybody's got a keister.
I know you're right. Got a keister.
All people have one.
This was in Germany. It all makes sense now.
Oh, it was in Germany. Yes.
Oh, there we go. There you go.
It all makes sense.
Those crazy Germans. I'm not implying anything, but this is really bizarre. Last night, I had a dream where somebody threw a hand grenade.
Whoa!
Now, I'm not saying that I had it was during a sex dream. It was not.
Where did it go?
It was like at a, it was like at a mall or some weird thing. And it was like, all I remember from the dream is that, you know, somebody threw it, and I grabbed who was ever near to me, and I didn't tackle him, but I kind of shielded myself. I was the hero.
I heroically
protected somebody.
I thought you were going to say
you fell
on it.
I think it went off, but, you know.
You fell on the grenade.
I didn't fall on it. We were far away from it, but I was a heroic person who grabbed the person and shielded them from the blast.
Good for you. Heroic. You're just like an action hero.
Yeah. Well, you know, us brave movie critics, you know?
Yes. But I was
watch enough Die Hard, you become John McClane.
I would do that.
Speaking of diehards, only diehards. If I may transition in a clunky manner, watch the Oscars the other night.
Oh, my God, what a disaster.
Below $10 million for the first time in history.
Michael Bryant is the only person I know that watched it, and he's the only person I know that liked it.
Well, you know what? I was texting with Mike early. He texted me before the show saying, you know what? For the first time in my life, I did not know that the Oscars were on tonight. You know, he just totally got by him. And I said, well, you know, you're not going to be the only one that's unaware of it. And people are going to, you know, end up tuning out if they get preachy. And right off the bat, they got preachy.
Yeah, they did.
And I will agree with him, though, that the change of setting was nice. You know, it wasn't your same old, same old. It wasn't a packed auditorium. But, of course, one thing I didn't discuss with him, but I read more and more about as the evening went along. It was at Union Station or whatever. Is that where it was?
I don't know.
Some train station.
Yeah, it was, yep.
They had to relocate homeless people because they had to clean it up so it didn't look.
Oh, isn't that? It's some boy, a little contradiction there, a little inconsistency there.
Yeah, especially when your best picture wins, you know, it's about homeless people.
That's true.
But apart from that, look, it's to the point now where, again, I had to watch the thing. When they get with the preaching, my eyes just sort of glaze over. I mean, it doesn't even shock me or anything anymore. I will say that there were a couple speeches in there that were fantastic.
Tyler Perry?
An opportunity. The woman that directed Nomadland about kindness, the kindness of human beings, which is great. And the best one was Tyler Perry accepting his Gene Herschel humanitarian Oscar, because this guy is the real deal. You and I have always known he's been the real deal, and I didn't know he was homeless at one point.
Oh, I didn't know
that
either.
But he told a story about being homeless and then helping a homeless woman, and, you know, it's all about positivity for the guy, and it's about refusing hate against anybody. You know,
against
not just
anybody,
certain individuals, but everybody refuse hate. And it was great. It was such of a great speech.
Now, when he helped a woman when he was homeless, was he the woman that he helped too?
Yeah, he was Madea.
He was Madea helping himself. So that's
good. He
didn't
say that, and that's where I got the inspiration for Madea. No, he said he was He was near his studios at the time. I don't think the ones in Atlanta, because he has this whole compound now, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, he does.
This woman, he got money out right away because, you know, he was homeless. He knows. He's going to give her money. She goes, no, I just want a pair of shoes. And he brought her to the studio where they had tons of shoes, you know, walls of shoes. And she started crying, you know. Aww. And it was really emotional. Oh, my God, what an emotional speech. But again, you know, the whole thing, he called out social media. He called out the 24-hour news cycle about refusing hate. It was so great. It's such a great speech. So look it up online.
Yep. You're right.
So there were good things to come out of it. But the thing that they really walked into the punch with was, oh, let's rearrange the categories so we don't give out Best Picture last. We give out Best Actor last because we're almost certain that Chadwick Boseman is going to win. And then Anthony Hopkins won it, and it was really awkward. Joaquin Phoenix says, he's not here to accept the award. Good night. That was it. So they, you know, they were expecting Chadwick to win and his widow to give an emotional speech and to end the evening like that. But nothing is absolutely 100% with these awards, and they found out the other night. And Anthony wasn't there to accept it either, you know, because he just figured Chadwick was going to win. He endorsed Chadwick.
Right, he did, yep. Absolutely. Yeah, so, but he was terrific in The Father. He was so good in that.
Yeah, you know, it's a hard one because, again, I think it's a public sentiment, and I did too. I mean, it was a hell of a performance. It was a great performance by Chadwick in this movie. Almost painful to watch at times because of the story. But Hopkins' performance is legendary. You know, it just is. I mean, it is about as good as you're going to get. And I think I've told you this before, reviewing the film. It's almost like he's tackling his own fears in a sort of way because he's in his early 80s. And he's tackling this whole thing with dementia. And I think that's why he was so compelling in the movie. I don't know, man. It clearly is the best performance of the year.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I don't know, like I said, do you think that Hollywood may learn something? Because it's Hollywood that's creating a lot of the problems in America right now,
yes,
by the
is.
Way. Hollywood is really, really pushing an agenda. They're going after everybody they want. Look, they're all multi-millionaires. They've got it made. They're never going to take a hit. That's why people who run their mouths at that kind of speed, they got nothing to lose. That's why they're able to do it. They got nothing to lose. They got all the money in the world. They got a great career. You're not going to ding them at all. So they just keep yapping about how wonderful.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, as far as the ratings being as low as they've ever been, less than 10 million people, is going to make a bit of difference to the people that are usually, you know, flapping their gums the loudest, right?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to matter because they have everything. They live in a bubble where everything is given to them.
Yep.
And then every year the big postmortem is, okay, what can we do different next year to change this, to rectify this? Well,
cancel it.
do what they used to do. Have it in private in a small setting like they did this year, actually. This year was probably closest to what, you know, the actual Oscars used to be like when they started. You know, like a dinner party, you know. People don't want to be preached to, you know, especially when they have everything. They don't want to be preached to.
The only people that want to be...
I don't know why they can't get that message.
The only people that want to be preached to are the people that really agree with the preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
about it.
And that may
be... You know, because that's who you're going to get. You're going to get your applause there, and it'll, you know, feed that whatever you're looking for. I agree. And you know, it's just, again, I agree with Mike that it was, he liked it. I liked it better than most of the ones that I've seen in the recent past. But again, it really comes down to the content of the thing, and that's the same. You know, the end result is the same. The people winning and preaching is the same. And so they're going to have to do something about that. You know, it's remarkable how they always are picking on the craft categories, you know, the costumes and they got to get rid of them altogether. Those are some of the hardest working people on the film. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Don't get rid of them.
The people that live up in Burbank, they're the ones that make that film. Whether it's post-production, costume, design, all that stuff is right up there.
Yeah, so I totally disagree with getting rid of categories for off the air. I mean, don't do that. But the other thing is they didn't curtail. There was no orchestra to play them off, so the speeches went as long as they went, you know. So I don't know. I think it was approaching 3.5 hours by the time all was said and done.
Again, 3.5 hours. Jesus.
Yeah, probably 3:20.
Was the just below 10 million? Was that the average people, or did it taper off toward the end? Or
that was average throughout the night.
That was terrible. Oof.
Less than 10 million.
Oof.
Yeah, it was ugly, man. It was really, really ugly. And then again, because I think you've interviewed her before on the show. Tanya Roberts was not included in the in memoriam. They always do that to somebody, and I don't know why. The excuse generally is, there wasn't enough time.
Yeah.
For an open-ended show, there wasn't enough time. Oh, okay. Okay. Whatever.
Man, as many people that go to the movies, to only have 10 million people listening, that is odd.
I know. Because 8 million.
So what's the average movie attendance in America?
Well, now it's terrible.
Well,
in the past, how many people will go to a movie in the year? Is it 100 million or 150 million?
You'd think.
It's hard to say.
You know, and people that watch movies, whether it's on TV or, you know, on streaming or at the theater, you know, that it might be as high as 300 million. If you start adding kids and things like that.
Yep.
So to only have 10 million people interested in, you know, how these movies have been rated by the professionals, that is pathetic. Pathetic.
How much is it?
I'm wondering, how does that even measure up to, say, a hit show during a regular week? What's viewership like now
very bad.
Especially talk shows. Talk shows are just tanking.
Oh, God, yeah.
Let's see.
They're really in the dumper. But, you know, they will fudge with the numbers today to include DVR and all that stuff.
Yeah.
In the ratings. They'll come up with a bigger number to satisfy themselves, I'm sure.
Wait a second.
There's nothing that can change those overnights, man.
And is that 10 million nationwide or worldwide?
I think nationwide, isn't it? Yeah.
I think so. It's 8 million, actually. It's 8.1 million.
Oh, it's lower. It's lower now.
Yesterday
they said it fell 58% from last year.
Well, a million of those are people that are directly involved with the whole process.
I would think so.
You know, families of people who are candidates,
right.
You know, that have worked and they've seen, geez, I'm going to see how Jim who made those costumes, see how they do, blah, blah, blah. You know, man, that is pathetic. Woo.
So yesterday I went into share versus rating. I think I got it backwards. Rating is the percentage of all TV households in the country, and share is the percentage of all people watching TV at the time. So if you have a 10 share, 10% of people watching TV watched your show. The Oscars had a 1.9 rating, so 1.9% of all people with TVs watched the Oscars at some point.
Oh, God.
Compare that
much worse
to, say, The Masked Singer, which had an average rating of 1.7. So it did just a little bit better than The Masked Singer.
Wow.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's pretty sad, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any interest in it. And do you think, Tim, that just because people aren't invested in going to the movies and that there weren't any movies, that's one of the – I mean, obviously, the endless bullshit that Hollywood spews out doesn't help.
Well, you know, I mean, look, I think that there's definitely a disconnect with, you know, the movies that they honor and the movies that people actually see in the theater over the course of a year. You know, a few years ago, actually it was 2009, they expanded the category to 10 Best Picture nominees, because The Dark Knight got screwed and was not nominated for Best Picture, and many people felt it should have been, me included. I mean, a lot of people did. You've seen it. It's a great movie. So they thought, okay, in order to get those quote-unquote popular movies in, we're going to expand the category. Well, then they got all high and mighty saying, well, you know what? There aren't 10 movies that are worthy of this, so we're going to do this ranked choice deal where we can nominate up to 10. And they've done that actually up through this year where they went with 8, okay? But now they're expanding it to 10 again next year, but it's because of the inclusion standards that they're implementing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're going, you know, from a different point of view. But whether that's going to actually help out the blockbusters, the movies that people actually see, probably not. It really hasn't done anything since they did that thing with After the Dark Knight in 2008. So I don't know, but I think, yeah, it's mostly why tune into an award show to see them honor a bunch of movies that we haven't seen.
Right.
Or haven't heard of. I mean,
interesting thing this year, Ralph, is that they got a lot of these, like Hulu had Nomadland on pretty much 2 weeks after it debuted in theaters. So a lot of these, you know, opened on streaming this year. So they were accessible. But again, mm-hmm. they're still the sorts of off-the-grid, independent sort of films. And don't get me wrong, there are a lot of great independent films. And, you know, films like The Father were great. But they're not, it wouldn't have attracted a huge crowd, I would think, if it were just in the theaters.
Yeah, well, I would venture to say that all of the winners are always great films. They are always great films. But no one watches them because they don't want the content. It's an esoteric content, but they're always well done. I mean, there's nothing ever, you know, they don't nominate a bad film. You know, like Sharknado doesn't get it.
Well, I know Sharknado.
Sharknado
7. No, generally it's these downer films that people don't, they're depressing. I mean, look, man, Nomadland. Oh, my God.
Nomadland was depressing. The Father was depressing. Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. I mean, name me one upbeat film.
Minari.
Except for Grandma was in rough shape.
I know, but it was more upbeat than...
It was, yeah, it was.
Which was?
Minari.
Minari. It was really
good. Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you do get those... Yeah, but it's... People are familiar with the blockbusters. They want to see... And I think that's why people were rooting for Chadwick Boseman, just because of the impact he left with Black Panther, you know, in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It was probably more than that. The people that are rooting for him probably didn't even see Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, you know?
Yeah, possibly. That's true.
You know,
I don't know anyone that saw that movie.
Who knows? But I would suspect if you went on Twitter and you saw the people griping about Chadwick not winning, it was probably more people that were familiar with his work in the superhero movie.
Yeah, sure.
You know? He was extraordinary in that movie, though.
It was
a hell of a performance, and it really kind of let all of the air out of the balloon when they called Anthony Hopkins' name. I mean, you could hear a pin drop after he said his name. Oh, God, it was very, very awkward.
We'll take a break. Be right back. More with Tim Lammers right after this in the family.
As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Well, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoor and outdoor all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable, you'll want to get some for the whole family, which is what we did. Call 1-800-516-5146 or use promo code Tom, of course. 1-800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom or go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Tom. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Call 1-800-516-5146. Use promo code Tom. Dan Chesky is here from Dan's Southside Marine to talk boats in February.
2021 is all about boat inventory or the lack thereof. Dan's has what you're looking for in the color and model you want. So get in and take advantage of the factory incentives and discounts February offers.
Why should our listeners shop for a fishing boat at Dan's Southside Marine?
We have the latest models on display, like the new Revolution. It features rotational seating from Premier Marine. and the new Alumacraft FSX crossover fish and ski. Both are getting tons of attention and grabbing sales from the competition.
Dan's Southside Marine is packed with pontoons from Avalon, Berkshire, and Premier. With all the rebates and incentives we mentioned at the top, get the family out this weekend and come see these amazing pontoons.
And be sure to ask about custom-rigged Alumacraft fishing boats this weekend at Dan's Southside Marine during our February open house.
Dan's Southside Marine, 6 blocks west of 35W on 98th Street in Bloomington. Shop online at danssouthsidemarine.com.
There are definitely things to avoid during a Minnesota winter, like licking a flagpole or waiting too long to replace that car battery. But number one on the list is taking a chance on your furnace. Hey, Tom here for Sabre Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, reminding you that a furnace clean and tune will improve efficiency, reliability, and peace of mind. Or maybe it's time to take advantage of Sabre's rebates and upgrade to an energy-efficient Bryant system. Don't take chances on your comfort. Visit SabreHeating.com. Sabre and Bryant. Whatever it takes.
This is that hard rock and roll we play when Tim Lammers is on.
Rock and roll, man.
Say, man.
If I could switch gears to some streaming.
Of course.
Because there are a couple shows that you must see.
Oh, good, because we're looking for new shows.
Okay. I'll start with Mayor of Easttown, starring Kate Winslet and Guy Pearce on HBO Max. Phenomenal show.
Yeah, M-A-R-E. Right, I saw
that. M-A-R-E, Mayor of Easttown. Did I say? I always keep saying from Easttown. Mayor of Easttown. God, what a great. It's a mystery, murder mystery sort of deal. Winslet has crossed officially into the Frances McDormand territory with this role.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, it's kind of like one of these characters that doesn't give a damn about, you know. She reminds me a lot of Frances in it. And she reminds me a lot, there's a Netflix show from, actually it was AMC, and you can get them all on Netflix still, I hope. It was called The Killing. The name of the actor is Mireille Ainos, and she reminds me a lot of her in that show, too. But yeah, Mayor of Easttown, only one episode a week, not one of these that you can binge, so you have to wait, which I think is a really, really smart move. It just kind of builds up that anticipation throughout the week. And the other one has been on Netflix for a couple weeks, but it is a docuseries called This is a Robbery, the world's biggest museum, the art heist.
Oh, yeah.
Fascinating. God, I have no interest in art, collecting art or whatever. We all have our own thing. But it doesn't matter. It is just so damn fascinating because this happened 30 years ago, and they have yet to solve the crime. 13 pieces were lifted from this museum in Boston, worth $500 million.
And none of them have been recovered.
Right.
None of them have been seen or recovered. Gone.
And it's weird. Have you watched it,
yeah,
Ralph?
Yeah, we watched the whole thing, and it was very well done. They did a just a great expose about, you know, what was going on there. One of the things, Kristen Burt mentioned this, that there was a Boston News special about this as well. And apparently there were parties frequently going into that museum late at night that either because someone was out drinking with somebody, hey, I got a key, come on, let's go in and take a look at the art in the middle of the night or some such thing, or they would have parties down in the basement. So it was very well done. They responded very well, a little bit docudrama-esque. Poor tape job, that's what I said. The guy was taped up with duct tape, some guy with a beard, some hippie guy with a beard.
Yeah, and they were implicating him in the thing.
Yeah.
It's what I think makes it really fascinating is that there are professional thieves. And the people that did this weren't, the way they executed it, the way they cut the paintings out of the frames, et cetera, the way that they went for value, you know, items that were far less valuable than some other items there. It screams like it would be an amateur job, but if it were amateurs, they would have recovered those artifacts, but yeah, they never have.
Well, the insinuation of the show also that these art pieces are held by organized crime, and then they use these art pieces to shorten sentences or to get sentences released. So you're thrown in jail, and you say, hey, well, I got this art piece. You know, maybe I can find this art piece for you. You know, maybe, but you know, I need some help with this sentence here a little bit. And so they reduce the sentence by such and such and such and such. A person, the guy's free. He turns over the art piece, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, they called it a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
In fact, they have they interview a real life art thief, and with all the crap that this guy has pulled, I mean, it's amazing. Prolific art thief. How he's sitting there out in the country, you know, on a lawn chair doing the interview. It's like, how is this guy not in jail? Well, it's because he had all these get out of jail free cards. Every time he get busted, he says, oh, I happen to have this Rembrandt or whatever.
I happen to have a Rembrandt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's what they boosted out of here. They had a couple Rembrandts and, boy, what were some of the other ones?
Oh, there was Matisse, I think there was Vermeer.
Wow.
Vermeer, yes.
The Rembrandt piece was unique because it was a boat scene, the only scene on the ocean that he had seen. It was a religious piece when the apostles were on the sea, and there was high seas, and Jesus was there trying to calm them and calm them. That was the subject matter. So yeah. Very unique.
So I always say the hallmark of any great film or documentary or whatever, when you can take somebody like me who has no interest in the art world or whatever, and to get, you know, it just sucked me right in, you know. It's kind of like, you know, watching that Tiger Woods documentary. I don't play golf. But it doesn't matter because it's such an incredibly fascinating story. So, I mean, if they can get me hooked in, I mean, they can get anybody hooked in, especially when it comes to art, because art basically is what people says it is. You know, what's the definition of art? Because somebody says it's art, that's about it.
Right, that's it.
These
is about
makers,
it.
Jackson Pollock dripping paint on a canvas, that's art. And it's millions upon millions of dollars, you know? It's crazy. So, I don't know how you feel about art, Ralph. I know Tommy thinks it's BS. Catherine, how do you feel about the whole value of art?
Well, I mean, I've been to enough art museums in my life to see when somebody has got some incredible talent and has made something that is moving. Modern art is definitely something that you need to appreciate. It's usually a political statement or some sort of socio-economical statement. You know, that's why the artist becomes important. So if you buy into that and that world, I believe that modern art is basically kind of a scam as far as
absolutely,
you know, the prices go. But you see a beautiful Rembrandt or something like that, and you know, not very many people could ever paint like that.
I really think you've touched on it, is that when you see a piece of art and it creates an emotional response, mm-hmm. whether it's a good response, you feel good inside, or you feel anger, or whatever that emotional response is, you got your art. That's art to you, and that's something you would put home to see that, to challenge you or make you feel good at any time. But if you see a piece of with some canvas, like just a white canvas sitting there, and they've done that too, just put a white canvas up, there's your art.
Mm-hmm.
You see it, it has no emotional stimulation to you. It's garbage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it all starts with somebody defining that it is art, I would think. See, and that's the whole thing. There was this trucker, this woman, years and years ago. I remember seeing a piece on 60 Minutes. I think it was Mike Wallace. Interviewed her, she came across what most experts would say was a true Jackson Pollock piece, to which she responded, who the F is Jackson Pollock, except for she didn't say F. And but the art world, the exclusive tastemakers, would never let her into their world because she was a truck driver.
Mm-hmm.
And it was never officially validated as a Jackson Pollock piece.
Hmm.
So, you know, it's this whole, you know, it's a club.
It is.
You know, a clique or whatever, where you got to have the right amount of cash to belong. And if you don't, or if you're in a certain occupation, you don't belong.
Well,
so that's kind of how I feel about art.
Well,
like, oh, okay, she discovers it, but she's the wrong occupation, so okay, what you have really isn't a Jackson Pollock, even though they know it is.
And there's been a lot of money laundering, tax evasion with art. That's one of the reasons why it's so incredibly overvalued.
Well, that's how it did get so overvalued, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Some of the Rockefellers decided that the painting on the wall was worth $11 million, so they gave it away and took an $11 million tax write-off.
Yeah, it's like, who says what it's worth?
Jeez,
like
what a joke.
Well, that's back when taxes, there was some point in the history of America where items that you owned weren't taxable income.
Really?
Yes. So when you made money, that was taxable. When you had money in the bank, that was taxable. But your items
were not.
That's why people were building great big castles and filling them with all kinds of different art pieces, because it was very, very valuable. And they knew that if, you know, something happened, they'd be able to sell it and still make a lot of money. And that's why, one of the reasons why.
I mean, isn't that,
all of that
still
happened.
The case? You know, if I own $1 million worth of gold, I don't have to pay taxes just because I own it.
Well, yeah, but how many people can actually go out and buy a museum-quality sculpture that's worth $100 million, you know? I mean, that was just a way of sheltering their income.
Yep.
Instead of having it in the bank, you'd buy, or in the stock market, you'd buy some sort of gigantically expensive piece of art. That's just how, that's how the Rockefellers were paying such little amounts of taxes.
Yeah, they hardly paid. And your other boy over there in Italy, too.
Other boy?
The guy from Minnesota. What the hell is his name?
J. Paul Getty.
J. Paul Getty,
Getty, yes.
That's what he did, too. He never paid any taxes.
Mm-hmm.
He literally hardly paid any taxes his whole life because of that.
Well, in that series with Donald Sutherland, he explained to the kid who eventually got kidnapped of how he scams people, and basically it was reinvesting whatever money he had. So he was always operating at a loss.
Yep, always.
So it was Ponzi.
Right.
It was a Ponzi.
Yeah. It was a Ponzi.
Even though he was making hundreds of millions of dollars a year.
Yep.
And that's one of the reasons why he moved to Europe.
Yep.
Is because I don't believe that there was property tax over there at that time.
In Italy,
That's... Well, did J. Paul Getty live in Italy?
I thought he did.
I thought he lived in the countryside of England or something.
He probably lived in both, I would guess. My guess is he probably lived in both.
Yeah, and rather than living in upstate New York, he went over there because he didn't have to pay property taxes.
Minnesota boy. 100% Minnesota boy. 10 years old.
Minneapolis' own, right?
Yeah, Minneapolis' own J. Paul Getty, baby.
Yeah, so most of it is it's a racket.
It is. What's always
there? You go. It's about figuring out all the angles.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you guys think it is that that the Biden administration and all these, you know, I'm not pointing out Democrat or Republican, but this whole fake idea that he's going to double the tax on rich people, it ain't going to happen. It's never ever going to happen, because all of the businesses would move out of America, and then we'd have no income.
Well, we've had that happen before. We've had fleeing.
I know. But not when it doubled. They've never doubled. Well, probably during the Eisenhower administration after World War II.
Because how are you going to pay for the trillions and trillions of dollars of great ideas that they have?
I know. It's true.
And they just, what they'll do is just keep lowering and lowering. Oh, you're rich. Oh, you make $50,000 a year. Well, you're rich now.
Yeah,
here's your tax bill.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, that's exactly they don't say what rich is. There's no definition of what rich is, and they will not set it in stone. No, it's they start lowering that bar.
Well, what's amazing to me is that they think that a person that makes $1 million a year, which granted is a lot of money, is the same as a person that makes $100 million a year.
I know they do think that's true.
How is that possible? You tax somebody at 50-60% that has $1 million. They're down to $500,000.
Right.
Somebody that's got $100 million, they're down to $50 million. That is still
a big
difference. I don't understand why they can't come up with what is rich.
Yeah. And that's and I've always said is that any system that tries to set up a tax system that is oppressive like that, when you start getting to 60, 65%, 75%.
Oh, punishing.
what happens is that then people get paid in cash, people get paid in barter, things like that. I had a friend who worked in the trades, and for 4 or 5 years, he only got paid cash. When it was really bad in the 70s, 80s, he only got paid cash. He didn't. There was no income tax return for 3 or 4 years.
What were the mortgage rates again? Like 14% or something?
Oh, at least.
Double-digit
interest,
double-digit inflation, double-digit unemployment.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Good God. Why do we let people run this country? Could we do it by committee like it's supposed to be done instead of you run it for a while and screw it up, and then I run it for a while and screw it up, and then this is the American people get screwed.
Well, when you've got a government that all they're promising is free stuff for everybody, somebody's got to pay for it, and then Obama started that fair share crap.
Yeah, he did.
Wait, did the kids get their college debt forgiven yet?
I don't know. I know they're working on it.
We're going to get that?
Yeah.
They're working on that.
He said they're not going to do that.
Mother, I thought they were working on it.
Well, that's why all those kids that voted for him. There's a number of children on my staff that voted for him because they were going to get their debt.
It basically goes down to how many people are elected on action as opposed to how many people are elected on promises.
Right.
There you go.
They can make promises and they think that, the minute they become president, it's going to happen. And again, both sides, you're right, Tom. All politicians make promises, but how many of those actual promises are filled?
Yep. That's a real problem. And so maybe this will be a lesson that those young people have learned, is that politicians cannot be trusted and they're not going to give you anything that they really say.
I don't think so. I don't think that they learn because they keep on voting for the same type of person over and over. They never stop.
Yeah, they love that free stuff. I'm going to give you this, and I'm going to give you that. Yeah. Oh, don't you worry.
It still doesn't happen, and they still vote for it.
Where are you going to get that money? Oh, we're going to take it from anybody. Your parents. We'll take it from your parents. There you go. We'll give it to you.
We're already forking over.
Catherine and I were looking to get like a $500,000 check from the government for that college tuition, but it hasn't shown up yet.
Yeah, could you imagine the last person that, I just paid off my $50,000 student loan debt
The
next day. We're going to forgive everybody from here on out.
Yeah.
From here on out, not you, though.
And they've seen that if they do that, they can't just do it once. They're making education free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that just absolutely destroys the higher education system, the scam that might be. They destroy that, which is a huge support. So they really can't do that. They run into their own issues there.
They can't do that.
What's interesting is there's so many states that have such good policies for colleges, like Georgia has a wonderful program where if you invest, I don't even know what it is, a couple of $1,000 a year or $1,000 a year for a certain amount of time, the state will match it as long as the kid goes to a school in Georgia.
Yeah, right.
And it's unbelievable. My friend, who does not make a lot of money, her son was all put through school all the way through engineering, all the way through, for I think her total investment was $10,000.
Really?
Her total investment. And it got to be put into a tax-free fund for as long as she could do it. And it was based on her income. And it got matched up, and he got to go to. And he's an engineer; he's making good money and did very well.
And he's paying taxes. That's how the system works.
That's how the system works.
They educate people; they get a better job; they pay more taxes.
Why
real simple.
We come up with things like that that are beneficial to all members of society?
Well, I have a question. Since in this family, I paid my college tuition right out of my pocket because it was $90 because I went one day.
Did you get a refund?
Does that include the parking ticket for you parking illegally?
Well, no, so it was like $115. Catherine, we paid for all your college education out of our own pockets.
It took years. Years.
Paid both Andy and Alex's tuition. So this family, we picked up our own tab. Why aren't more people doing that, pick up their own tab that can afford it?
I don't know. My parents, God rest their souls, they paid for my whole education.
There you go.
Whole thing. When I finished medical school, no debt.
I know.
Although my medical school tuition for all 4 years was $1,800.
$1,800.
That's insane.
Well, when I went to the U, it was
$900. How much would that be today, you think?
Oh, $40,000 to $50,000.
What college was this?
University of Utah. I was an in-state resident.
Let's see.
Medical school, I don't know what they're charging for in-state residents. Because if I was a resident, I'd work for the state for a year. So.
Right.
Well, and the more important question is, Tommy, how much would your $90 for one day cost today?
Yeah, I mean, that's got to be at least $300.
I know somebody who is...
$42,000 for Utah residents.
Per year?
Yes.
So, 40, man. $160,000 medical school. University of Utah.
And if you're not a state resident, it's $78,000 a year.
Holy
Hannah! Yep.
Woo! If you can get in. Typically,
enjoy your mortgage. Oh, it's the acceptance rate is only 4.6%.
Yeah, and most of those are Utah residents. Yeah. And there's a group of states that do not have medical schools in the West. Idaho, North Dakota.
Really?
South Dakota.
I didn't know that.
Montana. So you were given preference. Wyoming.
But you still have to pay the out-of-state tuition.
Yeah, they may have
to. Yeah.
Well, but then you're taking on like $300,000 worth of debt at the age of 22.
The whole thing about medical school education, if you look at education for college, for medical school, and deferred income while you're a resident, the total investment to become a physician now is probably anywhere from $750,000 to $1 million. So your return on investment is not very much.
No, it's not.
Because if you're a pediatrician, it's a long time before you pay that off.
Well, there's a reason there are fewer and fewer doctors, and more of the doctors that we do have come from elsewhere, where it doesn't cost them $500,000 just to get a license, you know.
Just got to pay pass the test.
Yep, exactly.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, Americans are not really becoming doctors anymore. They're becoming RNs or physician's assistants or whatever.
Really?
Because it's cheaper and easier, and you basically get the same salary. I mean, you don't, but it's close enough to offset the difference in the amount of money you have.
The return on investment is so much greater.
And most of the time when you go to the doctor, you're seeing a nurse practitioner.
Yeah, that's because that's all they have.
Yeah, that's true.
No one wants to be a doctor anymore because no one has, you know, a vault of diamonds to get their career started.
How about the Doctor of Rock? They still like that.
And how about going to college and have a professor not show up daily and just have their teaching assistant?
Oh, God.
Basically a grad assistant.
What a scam.
Me too.
Hey,
that's another scam.
Yeah, I did that for a year. I was a teaching assistant for a year at the University of Utah. So settle down there, Beavis. Settle down.
Ooh.
I'll come across that phone at you. No, the professor did teach the lectures, but, you know, you the teaching assistants pretty much, you know, spoon-feed everybody during the breakout sessions or whatever. I forget what you called them.
Pretty interesting. Timmy, another great report, I thought.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad the Oscars are behind us for another year.
Yes.
And then next year at this time, we're going to say how the Oscars didn't break 5 million viewers.
God, you're probably right. I have not watched it since I think I met Catherine. That was 39 years ago.
The Masked Singer doubled the viewership and came in second or sort of first, and the Oscars were a distant second with 5 million viewers.
I know we're short on time, but one last question. Did more people watch the red carpet or the Oscars?
That's a good question, and I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. You can track it down, though.
Yeah, so Tommy, we'll talk Thursday for movie reviews. Everybody have a wonderful week.
You too,
Timmy. Thank
you.
See ya.
Tim Lammers, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if they have those numbers.
That's interesting.
Maybe not yet.
I don't think they really
do. I thought they did do that in the past. I thought they did. I wasn't sure about that, but we shall see. So Mom and I have the line of the week on streaming television. Show called Hellstrom. It's really good. Very well acted. These two guys are helping. There's a sister and a brother, right? And again, one of the great lines in the show, the very first episode, they're not really exorcists. They just chase demons away. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And the guy comes out, and the woman says, because he's there to exorcise the devil from about a 12-year-old, maybe 10-year-old. He's about a 10-year-old boy, right? comes out, and he's walking past the parents. And they go, well, how did it go? How did it go? And he goes, well, good news is your son is not possessed, but he is an asshole. You're calling a 10-year-old an asshole. And then last night, the brother and sister have another guy with them, and they're looking for this buried whatever. And the two guys are arguing, and the sister goes, hey, you know, as soon as you two guys are done measuring your dicks, could you help me out over here? It was a great line. We'll take a break, be right back. Second hour coming up, special guest the second hour, too, with the family.